up, boy, really living it up, and he wasn't paying any attention to God, and he could care less, and he was one of the kings of Babylon, and he thought, man, things are going so good for me, I can even mock God. Do you ever find anybody in the world that seems to think that it's okay to mock God? Have you ever run into one of those? All right, I want you to know that there's actually a spirit living in each one of us in the flesh that if we're not careful, we'll mock God. And so we have to be careful and not give way to that enemy, okay? But in this particular situation, we've got this gentleman who thought that it would be okay, that everything was going so good and it was going so well for him that he had nothing to worry about. And I just want you to know that as we move to this next slide here, the first one, it's kind of on your paper. If you got a bulletin as you came in, you should have the notes as we go along, but they'll also be on the screen. But I want you to know that the enemy wants to catch us off guard. This is one of the battle methods of pretty much a lot of different enemies in spiritual warfare or even in real warfare. They want to catch people off guard, and that way they can take them real easy. They don't want to have you putting up much of a fight. And so what the enemy, and I went ahead and capitalized the E on that, but really you can take it the world, the flesh, or the devil, but we'll just go ahead and pick on the devil this morning a little bit. And what he wants to do is he wants to catch us when we're spiritually asleep. Amen? He's waiting for us to be asleep. How well can you defend yourself whenever you're asleep? Not very well. You know, I can remember hearing stories about people back in the... In World War II, how many of you guys ever got to know somebody that was actually in World War II? Man, that was considered one of the greatest generations. It's called the greatest generation. And, you know, I can see why. Those men and women were built with character. They had had character developed in them through the years. They had lived through the Great Depression, many of them. They had lived, some of them have gone off to war, and they had fought in World War II to help defend, really the world from being taken over by evil. Honestly, they helped to defend the Jews and helped to set them free. But, you know, there was something that I found out about some of them. When they were in the heat of the battle, they were afraid to sleep. They might go for days without sleep. Because if they were to lay down at the edge of the battlefield and go to sleep, what was going to happen to them? They were pretty sure they weren't going to wake up because they would be taken advantage of. And, you know, I heard this trick that some of them would do in Europe whenever they were fighting in these really big battles that would go on for days and days, and they would kind of get scattered away from their other troops where they didn't feel very safe. Oftentimes they'd find livestock, and if there were livestock that were bedding down in a field somewhere, they would lay down among the livestock, and they might even tie themselves to an animal. And that would be the way they would get a little nap, because they knew if they fell asleep, they were going to be vulnerable and they were going to be caught off guard. And so they depended on somebody else who could help them or something else to know if they needed to wake up quickly, because we all know if we're asleep, we're defenseless. Amen. And so we need to take that lesson seriously about being spiritually asleep. If you're spiritually asleep, the enemy can take advantage of you a lot easier. So let's not do that. Another thing that we're going to see is, and we're going to kind of experience all these in this Ephesians chapter 5 passage here in a minute. The enemy will take advantage of us and catch us off guard when we're spiritually distracted. That's another thing. In a battlefield, when you're in the middle of the heat of a battle, we don't see that soldiers oftentimes just go in and whip out their phone and start digging through Facebook, right in the middle of the heat of a battle. They have to be staying in tuned and paying attention, and so it's very important for them not to get distracted. Another thing, we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be spiritually foolish whenever it comes to being in the spiritual battle either, because whether you like it or not, you are in a spiritual battle. The enemy not only wants you, and he wants to take care of you, but he also wants those loved ones around you. And so we have to stay engaged in this battle and not be spiritually foolish. And another area would be to be spiritually drunk as well. That's going to weaken your defenses. It's going to cause us to be more vulnerable and off guard. So we want to learn from the past. And we had this... We had this king that I spoke of just for a few minutes there on this next slide, and this comes from Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. And this dear king, he had sent for the different vessels that they had taken from the temple of God, and they were using them in their party for just great drunkenness, and all of a sudden he saw this handwriting on the wall, and it scared him, and so he called for someone who could interpret this because he didn't understand the handwriting. And so Daniel was the one who was called. And but we see here, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. You know, his time had run out. He didn't even realize it till it was too late. In fact, what the handwriting had said, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, perazim," was that he had been found wanting on the scales. And his opportunity for repentance had passed. And that very hour, the kingdom was going to be taken out of his hands. And he was literally going to lose his life. So I think it's very important for us not to wait until we see handwriting on the wall. Because if we wait that long, it'll be too late for many of us. So let's respond to the call of God while we still have the opportunity and the time to do something about it. Right now is the time. So let's pay attention. Let's allow God to speak to us this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. So let's all stand, at those who are able to stand, for the reading of God's word this morning. And this is God's word to the church this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 14. "Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." Let us pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless us as we look at your word today to be able to apply it to our lives. I am thoroughly convinced that your word is not just a history lesson. This is your instruction booklet for life to your believers. And so help us, Lord, to stay connected with you, to understand what the will of the Lord is for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can have a seat. So we're going to start off with the number one thing that it points out to us, being spiritually awake, spiritually alive even. Because that verse in verse 14 tells us to awake up out of that sleep. You know, there's a time for sleep. It's a restful time, and I appreciate those times. And, you know, before I go to sleep, I don't know about the rest of you, just like I spoke of the soldiers knowing they were going to be vulnerable while they sleep, I know I'm going to be vulnerable whenever I sleep. Does anybody ever sense that to some degree? Have you ever had weird dreams? How many of you can control your weird dreams? I've tried that before. You know, you wake up in this weird dream and you think, I'm just going to go back to sleep and I'm going to end this thing right. You might be able to play around with that a little bit, but I'm going to be honest with you. You can tell that the enemy can kind of mess with your mind a little bit while you're sleeping. And so before I go to sleep at night, I want to be consciously asking God to protect me. I want to be consciously asking God to help me keep my mind on him and his things and the things of the world, of his kingdom, and not the things of the world. And then whenever I wake, I want to really wake up. I want to be aware. I want to be thinking about what God is doing in my life, thinking about what is happening in his kingdom that he might be wanting to use me for. Be spiritually awake, church. Let's not be slumbered to sleep by the world, because it's going to do everything it can to just lull us to sleep. I don't know if you guys remember the story about Samson and Delilah. Turned out she didn't always want his best, amen? And it was while he was just kind of resting and he kind of went into autopilot that eventually she just wore him down till he went ahead and told his secret, didn't he? What happened? The enemy took great advantage of him. Yes, God gave him strength in the end to be able to finish well. Praise God for that, because he was a child of God. He made some pretty fatal mistakes there, didn't he? Let's not do the same thing. Let's not waste our strength just being lulled to sleep by harlots. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's go forward with him. So let's be spiritually awake. Let's also be spiritually aware. Amen? Let's be aware. Let's be alert. So then, see then that you walk circumspectly. What does that word circumspectly mean? It's like a circle, right? You see, kind of see that a little bit of, in the word there? So keep watch around. I don't know how you guys feel, but like whenever I'm in a big group of people, I don't know, I'm just one of those people that I'm just always kind of looking around. I'm just always sort of know what's going on around me. And being circumspectly means, you know, walking circumspectly means spiritually aware, spiritually awake, spiritually paying attention to what's going on around us so that we're not dragged in unexpectedly. And also making sure we're not just slipping into these little sins, because I can tell you, sin never stays little. Come on, that was a place for an amen. Big amen. Sin never stays small. When we open the door for sin, it always gets bigger than we want it to. And it's going to take us deeper than where we want to go, and it's going to keep us longer than we want to stay. So we better pay attention to keep the door shut on sin. Amen? So let's be circumspect. Let's keep our eyes around us and pay close attention. And don't be as fools, but be as wise. How many of you want to go out and say, man, I just want to be a fool today? I hope none of you ever do that. I want to be wise. I want to have the right answer. I want to have the right answer for the right situation at the right time, and I want to be able to do it well. God wants us to as well, folks. So let's just stay spiritually awake. Let's say stay spiritually aware. Let's also remember to know the times. You see, it talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't waste your precious time. Boy, time is precious, isn't it? Every moment that we get to live is a moment you won't get to live again. Every moment that we waste is a moment we won't get to live again. Amen? So let's make sure that word redeem is to like buy back, to use properly. Redeem that time because, you know, the days are evil, and I think we can definitely see that there's a lot of evil going on these days, and it would be easy to get caught up in it, amen? But if we are spiritually awake, spiritually aware, and we understand the times, the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament were said, you know, were spoken of well because they understood their times. They understood kind of the needs of the time. Let me kind of reword it so that we can kind of understand. Can you see some of the needs of our time that we live in today? In this time that we live in today, we really have a great need for hope. A lot of people need a reason for hope. And they see you living for Christ with joy no matter what, even through your struggles and your trials. It will help them to find that hope. So let us stay connected and know the times and not waste our precious time. Let's also be spiritually wise. You can't do God's will unless you know his will. How can you know his will? It says to know his will. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of what the will of the Lord is. Here is the will of the Lord. His will is found in his word, and the only way we're going to know his will is to read his word. Read his word, listen to his word, pray about his word, and rather, let me also say, pray his word. Because as we pray his word, we pray his will, and he is obliged to do his will every time. So we want to make sure that we are spiritually wise. We can't know God's will unless, we can't do God's will unless we know his will. Let us know the will of the Lord. And also, let's be filled with or complete with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. If you're drunk, what are you being controlled by? You're being controlled by the wine. I don't know how many of you have ever been drunk. We may have some in our congregation today that have never been drunk in their life, and I say praise the Lord to them. But if you've ever been drunk, you will realize very quickly it's not you controlling yourself. It is an alcoholic beverage that's controlling you at that time. We can also go off into the area of drugs as well. Amen? Drugs, when they are taken, help control you. They take over. Well, it's telling us here, don't be drunk with wine. That's just dissipation. It's like to be all spread out and ineffective then. But rather be filled with, let's say it together, the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And if the Spirit is filling us, and we're allowing Him to take over every little portion of who we are and what we do, He will be controlling us. If you're controlled by the Spirit of God, you will be doing the right thing whenever the time comes. So do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or with the Spirit. Let's look at the next one. Be filled with His praises. Can I get an amen on that? Be filled with His praises. Eliminate area for the enemy to hang out. You know, the enemy likes to hang out in your discouragement. He likes to hang out in your negativity. You know, as soon as we start to say negative things, that's given a place for the enemy to jump in there. I think we close the door on that when we start singing praises. I'll tell you one place the enemy doesn't want to hang out, where the Lord's being praised. He automatically has to flee at that point because he cannot stand to hear God being rightly praised. You know, it's one of the reasons why he rebelled. You know, that the enemy Satan used to be an angel, a cherub angel. He was the angel who helped to lead the worship. He was an angel that was more beautiful than all the Bible talks about. Problem was, he wanted the worship for himself, and he couldn't stand to see it being for God. It corrupted him, made him jealous, and he led a rebellion of a third of the angels in heaven with him. And so I want you to know that as soon as you start praising God rightly and biblically, the devil can't hang out there. How many of you guys have ever gotten spiritually depressed? Where you just kind of start feeling like, man, you're just being overcome by the darkness. You ever feel that way? Well, I want you to know you don't have to stay there. You may feel it temporarily, but the thing for you to start doing almost immediately, if you'll just listen to the Bible and listen to what the Word has to say, is speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, the devil ain't going to hang around for that. In fact, you'll begin to see real victory in your life before you even see your circumstances change. You just take it from Paul and Silas, who were in stocks in prison after being beaten. And in the middle of the night, what were they doing? They were singing praises to God. Excuse me. The prison doors flew open. And you know what? Their circumstances still didn't change. Because the jailer was scared to death that they had run off and that everybody had escaped and the jailer was going to have to pay with his life. And Paul said, don't fear. We're still here. You know why he was still here? Because God wasn't finished with him yet. So Paul went ahead and hung out a little while longer, and in Philippi, the Philippian jailer got saved, and not only him, but his whole household, because God was doing something, and he was doing something by the praises of his people. And I can tell you that the fact that they were praising the Lord and singing praises was a witness to that jailer even before those doors flew open. And so that's what you and I need to continue to do, is just fill our lives with his praises, fill our life, and eliminate all area for the enemy to hang out, speaking to one another. That's what our homes should look like. That's what our lives should look like. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then, I think along with this, be thankful. Amen. Name, you know, when you're feeling your lowest, name five things you're thankful for. Just find five things in your life. They could start out really small. They may be really, you may have to really stretch to try to figure out something you're thankful for. But just start there. And then what you're going to see is God will just begin to lift you up on those praises, on that thankfulness, on that thankful heart, giving thanks always for all things. For what? For all things. For what? All things. Not just some things. Not just what we call good things. For all things. You know, sometimes that's hard to do. But you know what? Anything that's worth doing is going to be hard, and it's always going to have increase. So you go ahead and you do what God's word says, because this is the will of God for you and for me as his believers. Give thanks always for all things. To who? To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in being filled with this, filled with his praises, being thankful, being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by him, he wants us to keep unity with one another. He wants us to do that in the fear of the Lord. He wants us to fear God. Some would say, well, you know, that word fear, that just don't, it don't track with me. It doesn't compute with me. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't care if you're afraid of anything else. You better fear the Lord, because he is the most powerful, greatest force, and he ultimately is the judge. He wants us to properly respect him. He wants to properly revere him. He wants us to make sure that we have him in the proper place in our life. And it says there in Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Whenever you're looking at your brother or sister in the church, you're looking at your brother and sister in your family, you're looking around, I want you to see not just this other person who might get on your nerves sometimes and you may have disagreements with. I want you to see that they are a person who is created in the image of God. God has a special purpose for why he created them. And if you offend them, you're offending him. And I think that if we can submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, I think God shows up in that in a very, very powerful way. Don't wait to be corrected until you see the handwriting on the wall and you've just gone too far. Let's start moving with God now. Let's start working with him instead of against him. Let's start being controlled by him instead of trying to control him. Amen? How much of our prayer life have we spent trying to control God, get God to do what I want him to do? Let's be thankful for what he is doing. Amen? And we're going to see a great movement of God. And then lastly, I'm going to say, make sure you're in the faith. Some would say to a preacher, don't ever make it personal. Always say us and not them. But on this one, I'm going to say you. Because this is a personal thing. And this is for me too. I need to make sure I'm in the faith. So this is for me, but it's also for each one of you individually. This is something no one else can do for you. You have to make sure that you yourself are known by Jesus and that you know Jesus. So Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I'm going to tell you, for the people that hear that right there, it's too late. There is no changing it. And we just need to make sure that none of us wait until it's too late. Make sure that we're right with the Lord. And we need to make sure each and every day as we walk with the Lord that we make sure that we are in the faith. The Bible tells us to. It's okay. You don't have to doubt your salvation and do this. You don't have to be unstable to do this. In fact, I encourage you, don't be unstable. If you're in a true walk with the Lord and a true relationship with the Lord, then every morning when you get up, you recommit yourself to the Lord, and you ask God to show you evidences of my relationship with you today, Lord. I want to see it. I want to see the proof. And you know what? God will show you. He will increase your faith. He will help you to thank him even when times are hard. He will help you to walk with him. He will help you to be controlled by him. Do you know that you know that you know that when you draw your last breath, you're going to be with Jesus? I pray you do. If you don't, then I've got the solution for you right here in the Word of God. Confess Lord Jesus with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Ask God to strengthen that faith in you, and you shall be saved. Walk with him. Do his will. Let's follow Jesus together. If there's anyone who doubts, don't be afraid to bring it forward and just pray about it this morning. Let's pray, and then at the end, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together, those who are truly believers in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, just bring ourselves before you this morning. We pray that every man, woman, and child knows where they are with you today before they leave this place, that they will be able to know that they have a true relationship with you. And Father, just confirm in them true faith, saving faith, that we can really believe that Jesus did in fact come to planet Earth and live in a man's body for 33 years. That's what we're celebrating this time of the year. And we can in fact know that you did die on the cross, not for your own sins, because you were sinless. You were the sinless Son of God. But Lord, you came and died for our sins, paying the price for them. That you were put in a grave and you were there for 3 days, but on the third day you rose again. Let us be just truly assured of the blessed resurrection, and that you've gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us, just as you said you would, that where you are, we may be with you also when it comes time. So, Lord, please bless us to be reaffirmed of that, reassured of that, and that we will know that we have agreed to follow Jesus. Please bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.